This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, kicking off our number three. You can call in and join us with whatever is on your mind. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. The us in studio tonight is Daryl,
Michael,
and Jackie.
And as I mentioned in the last hour, there was a recent survey that was done by a company called Clover. Not one that I am familiar with, but they have a fairly good write-up about the survey that they did, the methodology behind it, and the responses that they received. So what they did was to gauge interest in the support of cryptocurrencies in politics. They wound up surveying 1,023 registered voters in the U.S. to take survey. And what they found was that 60% of eligible voters believed it should be legal in the United States to donate cryptocurrency in federal elections under the same rules that apply to donations in U.S. dollars. And what's interesting here is that while the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, does have a rule on the acceptance of cryptocurrency in federal elections, cryptocurrency is not treated the same as U.S. dollars. It's not even treated the same as any other in-kind contribution, which is what the FEC considers cryptocurrency to be. And I'm glad that Clover included this information in their write-up here. They say in 2014, the FEC, that's the governing body that oversees campaigns for federal offices such as President and House, issued a ruling stating that Bitcoin, the first and arguably most popular form of cryptocurrency, could be accepted as an in-kind contribution with a limit of $100.
What?
Yes, so if you want to donate some cryptocurrency to a political candidate for president or U.S. House or U.S. Senate, you can only donate $100 to them in cryptocurrency. And then there's a lot of bookkeeping trickery that they have to do to where they accept it as an in-kind contribution. They can hold on to it for as long as they want to. But then when they're ready to spend it, they have to convert it to U.S. dollars and then spend the U.S. dollars. So cryptocurrency is treated as a completely different type of thing in accordance with federal election law. And this survey, again, found that 60% of voters believe that it should be treated the same as U.S. dollars. They mention here that there was a ruling explaining the value of the contribution is based on the market value of Bitcoin at the time of the contribution. So, again,
right,
if you donate $99 and then it goes up in value, then that would just somehow be a bookkeeping trick of sorts to say, well, the in-kind contribution we received has increased in value. And then they mention here that several states are considering whether to accept one of the 2,216 and growing cryptocurrencies on the market today. From a political perspective, the overriding issue of cryptocurrency acceptance are the same as the federal government and private sectors are still wrestling with, namely value and security. Another point voters agree on is that cryptocurrencies and traditional currencies, such as the U.S. dollar, should be treated equally. Skipping down, it says some states have campaign finance laws that are the same as the federal statutes. However, there are some differences. Some states allow candidates to accept money from corporations. Others do not. Only two states, Tennessee and Virginia, have seriously considered legislation that allows donors to use digital currencies. Tennessee is the only state to enact legislation, and the language in the statute is somewhat vague. Delegates in Virginia have considered legislation. However, the bill has not yet passed or been signed by the governor. Now, one thing that isn't mentioned here is some states, like New Hampshire, they don't even mention it in the statute, but we have a lot of candidates running for various offices
that are accepting cryptocurrency. Right.
Yeah.
Going back several years.
As far as I'm aware, the candidates in New Hampshire that are accepting cryptocurrencies for their campaigns are treating it as if it was any other kind of contribution, be it U.S. dollars, gold, silver, anything of that sort.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert on campaign finance law, but how do they treat contributions made in foreign currencies like euros to U.S. candidates if they came from a U.S. citizen, but the U.S. citizen happened to be contributing like pounds or euros or whatever?
Has that ever happened?
I'm pretty sure, like, everything's happened at some point. Like, here, I have, you know, this leftover cash from my trip to Europe, and I'll give it to you to your campaign, because they don't want to go to the, you know, currency exchange desk and exchange it. So I'm sure it's happened. How has that been treated? Because I would think the legal precedent would be to treat it like a foreign currency, because it's basically another currency that's not issued.
Right, and then just figure out whatever the exchange rate is on the day that you received it, I guess.
I mean, so whatever the treatment is of that, and if that's prohibited, which I don't think it should be, then I would think crypto would be prohibited in the same way. If it's not prohibited, then I would think it would be handled the same as if somebody handed you a stack of euros.
Right. And then the real question would be, is there a limit on the amount of euros that somebody could hand you?
I would assume it would be whatever the exchange rate. You know,
right,
the US,
so it would be the U.S. dollar amount.
Yeah.
In theory, it wouldn't be some sort of arbitrary limit with Bitcoin. They just say, oh, it's an in-kind contribution, but you can only accept $100. I don't know of any other in-kind contribution where they put a limit.
Yeah, that's definitely ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's one of these things to where they're just, you know, creating up regulations as they go along and hoping that people try to follow it. Continuing on, they've actually got a couple of interesting questions here. Is cryptocurrency secure enough to be used for political purposes? 54% of voters said yes. And that includes a majority of Republicans, 63%, a majority of Democrats, 52%, and a plurality of independent voters, 45%. Also, 73% of people who reported being extremely familiar with cryptocurrency believed that it was secure enough for political purposes. And I would say it's at least as secure as any government fiat currency. The survey also says that independent and libertarian-minded voters at times appear more progressive or open to new ideas and concepts than their Democratic and Republican counterparts. However, many state governments have jumped on the bandwagon of digital currencies. There are several reasons why state governments are hesitant to adopt cryptocurrency donations, but the two major ones are the validity of cryptocurrency and the anonymity of the donor, one of the hallmarks of blockchain technology. A ruling by the Kansas Governmental Ethics Commission in October 2017 is an excellent example of why most states remain leery of digital currencies. And, of course, they link over to it, but they don't give any kind of quotes from it.
So the, you know, anonymity of cryptocurrency, I can see as an issue because you do want to know, you know, well, I know you have specific objections to the FEC personally, but
yes,
the way that campaign finance works is we want to know where donations are coming from, whom they're coming from, who, where they work for, where they live. Right now, you just collect that information when somebody writes you a check or makes a credit card donation or donates cash. I don't know if that's audited in any way. So if I come to your campaign event and hand you, you know, $50 in cash and fill out a little form saying, you know, I'm Jane Doe at 123 Main Street or whatever, and does anybody ever actually check? Like,
no, they just assume you're a Russian bot.
No, I mean, the thing is I've definitely, you know, worked on campaigns for sure. We took campaign donations in cash and they filled out the paperwork, but I don't think that's ever audited where that comes from.
Yeah, that is a really good question. And then the next question is, who has time to do all of the auditing? Like, is there somebody that would have time to go through every finance report? Your calls
Some
and
bureaucrat.
Thoughts welcome. 855-453. This is Free Talk Live.
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up, and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Your property and your family are precious. Protect them with Blink. Blink motion-activated HD cameras are wire-free, set up fast, and their batteries last up to 2 years. And Blink's live feed option lets you monitor what's happening in your home anytime, anywhere. No contracts, no subscriptions, and Blink works with Alexa. You can get 3 Blink cameras for way less than the other guys, plus an extra 15% off. Visit BlinkProtect.com/FTL. BlinkProtect.com/FTL. Blink is an Amazon company.
Bitcoin.com wants you to know about SaveItPurse. Since launching in 2014, over 200,000 users have saved an average of 15% for a combined $4 million using Bitcoin, or BTC. And now, you can use Bitcoin Cash, BCH, to fund your account. You can save between 5 to 33% on things you're going to buy anyway when you shop using SaveItPurse.com. Add items to your cart, fund your account, select your discount, and save. SaveItPurse.com. SaveATPurse.com.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. That's how you can call in and join us and bring up whatever is on your mind. We're talking about some survey results that were done, or rather that were released recently about cryptocurrencies in politics and how cryptocurrencies are treated differently than official government currencies. We'll get back to that and your phone calls, but want to make sure that you know about Freedom's Phoenix. Freedom's Phoenix is a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. They have the newest, freshest stories and perspectives on current events from those who value liberty. Their daily dispatch is one of the best ways to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Let's go to the Discord call-in line where we've got Free Market Penguin calling in. Free Market Penguin, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey, yeah, this is your man Free Market Penguin calling from Virginia. I caught a tiny bit of the like around 8:50 when you guys were talking about Eastern time, when you were talking about government and the state. Just caught a glimpse of it, but it reminded me I need to call in today. And I understand and like the function and the function and structure of government. I mean, governance is an important thing. Any company, any organization of any sort has a government. Even in an anarchist non-system, any kind of organized community, municipality, any kind of city, anything that requires some kind of organization and order is going to require some form of governance. And what libertarians will object to, of course, is the state. The state being defined as the organization with the claims of monopoly of use of force. And the issue with the importance of anarchism is that I've yet to really see, you know, given a progression of time, obviously given an infinite amount of time, any system that's really going to be self-limiting and foolproof. It's not going to be able to be foolproof, self-limiting, and that's why I hesitate to, you know, accept the kind of state. I'm not a hard anarchist where I just you know, anytime any mention of a state, any idea of a state, I can certainly work within a system. But, you know, a government and governance is absolutely necessary for human society. But
all right, well, let me sort of turn this back a little bit. You said that, and correct me if I misheard, you said that you don't see how a stateless society would wind up being able to stay a stateless society. Is that basically what you said?
No, I'm actually saying the opposite. I don't see how a state of any type could form under the, you know, that definition of a state that could be formed, that could be inherently self-limiting over infinite amount of time.
I think Jefferson said something about that. What was the quote? I'm paraphrasing.
He had a bunch of different quotes about needing a revolution of some sort every generation or so.
The tendency is for governments to expand and liberty to give ground, something like that.
This isn't unique to government, though. Like, nothing stays the same over hundreds of years.
Right.
Like, no institutions, whether they're governments or voluntary organizations, stay unchanging for hundreds and hundreds of years.
No, it's the Catholic Church.
No, the Catholic Church has changed a lot. Like, priests used to be able to get married. They've gone through and edited, like, what parts of the Bible they consider legitimate. You know, they used to never do any kind of services in the vernacular. Like, the Catholic Church has changed a ton over the last 1,000-plus years. There were multiple popes at the same time fighting over who was the real pope. Like, there's been big, big changes in the Catholic Church.
But the difference is the government set up by that was set up by the Constitution of whenever it was 1780 whatever. The government was, or 90s, I'm not sure. But the Constitution was a pretty damn good attempt at creating a self-limiting system. Obviously revolutionary in its time, but of course the founding fathers didn't. Many of them, Jefferson included, didn't think that this this system or this constitution wouldn't need to be constantly revised in a way a lot more than it is. And it's just really the constitutional Republican system that we have is, you know, protects the status quo a lot more than I think many of the founding fathers, I think Jefferson included, intended.
Well, I think any kind of, you know, government that has a constitution, or even those like the United Kingdom, where they don't actually have a written constitution, it's just, you know, a bunch of common law, it's designed to sort of protect the status quo. Free Market Penguin, thank you for the call. Let's go to the phones, where we've got Sarah calling in from New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Yes, you know, I'm really beginning to wonder, is there a real reason? There has to be a reason where people have strong feelings about anti-Semitism, or they want to shoot all the Jewish people. I mean, why is there so much anti-Semitism from, like, even 300 years ago? Or, you know, they all have to get run out of Russia. They all have to flee Spain and come to New Mexico. I mean, and they get run out of Poland too. But what are they doing? I'm really wondering. You know, it's just, I mean, do you think there's a real reason behind it?
Well, there are some crazy people that make up all kinds of theories about certain people that control everything and are secretly in charge of something. And, you know, as I see it, the people that really hate the Jews, they're bigots, and they hide their bigotry behind some kind of
conspiracy
thing that is, you know, supposedly some, you know, one world government something, while also like some kind of scare tactic of, well, if we don't do something. And you mentioned, you know, Jews being run out of Poland. That was Hitler. Hitler did that.
And also, this kind of persecution is not unique to Jewish people throughout all history and all the world. Like, everywhere in the world, there's minority ethnic groups or religious groups or cultural groups that are persecuted and run out or forcibly relocated. We just hear about anti-Semitism because that is the group that we're most familiar with experiencing this kind of persecution in, like, modern Western society. But, I mean, Africa has got
going on all over the place.
Yeah, like Africa's
the Rwandan genocide.
Exactly. Like they had, you know, one tribe got on the radio and told people to go out and get the other one. It's happened throughout history with minority religious groups and ethnic groups. So we just hear about anti-Semitism because, you know, in the United States and Western Europe and all the people who can speak English to us, that's the group that has experienced it the most and the most recently. But it's not unique to them at all.
But you know what? We hear about them most because they wind up having a lot of power as a group, and they have a lot of money.
Do they really?
Hold on. So are you now perpetuating the conspiracy theories, Sarah? Thank you for the call, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, she called in to ask a question. We gave an answer, and then she's like, no, here's the real reason.
I mean, you have people just living their lives, and people like that come along and say, oh, they must be ruling the world or whatever.
855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go. With water filtration systems of every size for every budget, now GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
What if there was a social media network only for the conservative?
What if there was a social media network not only for the conservative right general public, but also a platform for conservative politicians and advertisers?
And what if the social media network was the only free speech network in existence?
There is. It's RightSocial.net.
RightSocial.net, a response to President Donald Trump's direct presidential order.
RightSocial.net, where you have the right to freely speak your mind.
RightSocial.net,
the right place to be.
You know,
USA Radio News.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
This atrocity was a chilling act of mass murder. It was an act of hatred. And above all, it was an act of evil.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders talking about the murder of 11 Jewish people praying in their synagogue Saturday.
Anti-Semitism is a plague to humanity, and it is responsible for many of the worst horrors in human history.
The anti-Semite who shot and killed them in the Tree of Life synagogue during the Sabbath, facing 11 counts of murder and other criminal charges. President Trump scheduled to visit the area.
The President and First Lady will travel to Pennsylvania to express the support of the American people and grieve with the Pittsburgh community.
In other news, reports the Florida man accused of sending pipe bombs in the mail to Democrats and critics of the president had a list of more than 100 targets. Cesar Sayoc in shackles and handcuffs, making his first appearance in federal court in Miami. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable. And save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. That is how you can call in and join us with whatever is on your mind. The Us in Studio tonight is Daryl,
Michael,
and Jackie.
And we'll get into this Donald Trump story where apparently he has scheduled way more executive time than he has scheduled work time. Story from Politico says Donald Trump had about three times as much free time planned for last Tuesday as work time, according to his private schedule. The president was slated for more than 9 hours of, quote, executive time, a euphemism for the unstructured time that Trump spends tweeting, phoning friends, and watching television. Official meetings, policy briefings, and public appearances, typically the daily work of being president, consumed barely 3 hours of his day. The president was also slated to spend 30 minutes on the phone with CEOs and make brief remarks at a state leadership conference. He was briefed by senior military leaders in the evening and joined them for dinner. Aside from an 11:30 a.m. meeting with White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, his first commitment of the day, the rest of his day was unstructured, some in blocks as long as 2 hours, 45 minutes.
So We know from previous things, a big chunk of that is he spends all morning watching Fox and Friends, to the point of which White House staffers who want to get something onto his agenda will coordinate with the producers of Fox and Friends to try and arrange for specific guests to come on the show. Like, that's been exposed previously. Yeah, they have to go through back channels to get things onto the president's agenda through the TV show that he watches all morning long pretty much every day.
Now, I did hear something a while back that apparently in the briefings that he receives, several White House staff members speaking on the condition of anonymity said he likes hearing his name, so we have to put his name in the briefings a lot so that he keeps paying attention.
Yeah, there was even a thing recently where they were talking about how he was having all these conversations with, you know, people in the media business, whatnot, on his personal cell phone because he didn't want to have it logged through the White House switchboard, talking about various things, which is basically what he and his supporters thought Hillary Clinton should be locked up for, using a
right.
personal email server to discuss sensitive information.
Right.
But a lot of the sources reported this said it's okay. He doesn't play close enough attention in the intelligence briefings to know anything that he could be giving away in these conversations.
And apparently the National Archives has had to hire people to go behind Donald Trump to tape papers back together, because part of his
process
over however many years of being a businessman, and I'm using air quotes there, when he's done with a task that's written on paper, he rips the paper into small pieces.
It's not just that. If he doesn't like a report or a document he's been given, he tears it up like a toddler. But I would say the whole upside of this long executive time versus small amount of work time is, like, isn't it really for the best? Like, do we really want him working more hours, doing more of whatever it is that he wants to do? Like, I'm pretty unhappy with most of what Trump does. So if he would just like to do all executive time,
yeah,
all the time.
Just like to go on vacation until the end of his term.
Yeah, if he just wants to go, golf for another 2 years, I would be fine with that.
Yeah, and, I'll say one more thing here. A lot of people give Congress a hard time because, they had a week and a half of vacation. Well, no, they should really only be in session for, a tenth of the time that they're actually in session.
Yeah, a few weeks.
Yeah,
like this whole year thing.
3 weeks, maybe, instead of, 280 days of actually being
in session?
Which
is what they used to do before they invented air conditioning, because it was just too hot in Washington, D.C.,
Yeah, there's more from this article that we'll get into, but first to the phones. We've got Anonymous calling in from Arizona. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thought.
Are you there?
Go ahead, Anonymous. You're on the air. Go ahead with your thought.
I have read a book years and years ago. I don't know who the author is. Entitled something about the drama of the lost disciples. I think it has to do with the beginning of the Anglican Church. In that book, and it's been many years, probably 25, 30 years since I read it, that it talked about Jeremiah leaving.
And Anonymous, can you speak up a little bit more? We're having trouble hearing you, and I've got you turned up as far as I can on the board here.
I don't know. I have poor quality on my audio for my phone, but is that any better?
You sound much
a little
better
bit.
Now.
Go ahead.
Do I need to restart over?
No, go ahead with wherever you were in your thought. Something about you picked up a book, you don't remember the name of it, and you think it was talking about some Anglicans.
The Drama of the Lost Disciples by George F. Jowett. I just looked it up.
Right.
It's trying to tie Joseph of, I don't know how to pronounce this, Arimathea, the Apostles Mary and Jesus, and says they somehow made their way to the British Isles. Does that sound familiar? Is that what you remember reading?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, what about it?
In that book, it spoke about the Jews, the Ashkenazi Jews, and other Jews, if I recall correctly. And the dispute seems to be that the people that are in Israel right now are people that have mixed their race with other races enough to where they're not the true pure bloodline of Judah. And the true Jews are not in that area. They are further
north. I've heard people, purporting this basically conspiracy theory thing, but what difference does it really make?
Yeah, what does bloodline have to do with anything?
There was a lot of controversy today, even on your own podcast, the Tim Floyd I listened to, and different things about this shooting and how people are persecuting the Jews. Who are the true Jews?
Okay, well, it's
the royal families of this European nation.
I agree that it can be a little confusing because it is used both to refer to an ethnic background and also a religion.
Yes.
I don't think most of the white supremacists and other anti-Semitics who are attacking them really are delving that much into the differences. Like, they just have a group that they've othered and want to blame for things in their conspiracy theories and want to attack them. Like,
right. They make a convenient scapegoat.
Right, and it sounds like you're trying to perpetuate some of these weird othering conspiracy theories. Thank you for
pulled this book up on rationalwiki.org,
yeah,
and just one thing kind of summarizes the whole book. The content is dubious, ranging from entirely speculative, misquotes, unsourced assertions, to claims that are outright lies.
Yeah, that could be said of a bunch of books that are, Dan Brown's thing that a bunch of people wound up taking as some kind of historical truth.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of times when people write historical fiction that has any kind of religious or conspiracy tie-in theme, it's a novel. It's a well-researched and interesting novel, but people somehow think it's like the real history of something. People get very easily
confused.
People
want to believe something other than, quote, what they've been told.
That's not too far from thinking Dan Brown's books are historically accurate.
People want to believe. There's that TV show that says the truth is out there, and I know that I'll just find it eventually.
There's enough real stuff in there that the rest of it sounds plausible.
The Louvre is a real place. The Mona Lisa is a real thing. So Thomas Jefferson must have wrote the Declaration of Independence on the back of the Louvre or something. Your calls and thoughts, welcome, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Plus, we've got the Discord call-in lines available at discord.lrn.fm. This is Free Talk Live.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up two bottles of Liquor Chops, get the third bottle free.
New improved Lico Chaps with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try Lico Chaps. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
The Liberty Dollar was so successful that the United States government had to take it down, and its founder, Bernard von Notthaus. Now Bernard's son, Extra, has launched Liberty Dollar 2. LD2 is a cryptocurrency, but each token is backed by the same gorgeous fine silver rounds that Liberty Dollar has always been known for. Your silver is secured in an audited vault and can be redeemed at any time. There's only a few thousand LD2 Zero tokens left in the crowd sale at ld2coin.io. Get yours, ld2coin.io.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner. trainer and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We are proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse is passionate about redefining youth through revolutionary products. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesce from Dr. Nathan Newman. The Luminesce Anti-Aging Skincare Line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa, Jeunesse Medical Advisor, has designed several products helping the body perform better through naturally occurring plant compounds. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee. They're available with up to 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Possibly time for you and your thoughts if you call in now to 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Want to tell you about Liberty Dollar 2. They recently released their limited LD20 token, and Free Talk Live is giving away 10 of them. That's a $350 value. Each LD20 token is backed by an ounce of silver. It's a gorgeous .999 fine silver round, just like what Liberty Dollar was famous for. To enter, send an email to contest@freetalklive.com. And then in the subject line, make sure you put LD2 and then include a number between 1 and 1,000. Again, to enter, send an email to contest@freetalklive.com. Subject line must have LD2. And then, either in the subject line or in the body of the email, put a number between 1 and 1,000. Liberty Dollar 2, if you win, will help you set up a wallet to receive your prize. The winner will be selected on November 5th, and in the event of a tie, the prize will be split. You can learn more about Liberty Dollar at or Liberty Dollar 2 at ld2coin.io. That's LD, the number 2, coin.io. In studio tonight, it's Daryl,
Michael,
and Jackie.
And next week, there's an election. And Reason has an article about the 4 states that could legalize medical or recreational cannabis next week. In an interview with Roll Call, Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado described Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's dismay upon hearing that voters in Utah seem set to approve medical marijuana when they go to the polls. Gardner says, quote, "I said that even Utah is most likely going to legalize medical marijuana this year. McConnell looks And he goes, Utah? He had a terrified look. And he says that Orrin Hatch walks up, and Mitch looks at Orrin and says, Orrin, is Utah really going to legalize marijuana? Orrin Hatch folds his hands, looks down at his feet, and says, first tea, then coffee, now this. Yeah. Notwithstanding opposition from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, polls indicate that nearly two-thirds of Utah voters think patients should be able to use cannabis if their doctors recommend it. Prospects for medical marijuana look dimmer in Missouri, where surveys indicate weaker public support, and voters will face a potentially confusing choice of three separate initiatives on the subject. It seems even less likely that North Dakota voters, who just 2 years ago approved medical marijuana by a surprisingly large margin, are ready to legalize for recreational use. But recreational legalization seems to have a pretty good shot in Michigan. Proposal 1 in Michigan would allow adults 21 and older to possess 2.5 ounces or less of cannabis in public, transfer that amount to other adults, quote, without remuneration, possess up to 10 ounces at home, and grow up to 12 plants for personal consumption.
It's a start.
The initiative would also establish a licensing system for commercial production and distribution, subject to a 10% tax on retail sales. Support for Proposal 1 has 54%, or rather it's averaging 54% in six polls conducted from late February to early October. A solid majority of Michigan voters, 63%, approved medical marijuana in 2008. If they take this further step, Michigan will be the first state in the Midwest to legalize cannabis for recreational use, joining 9 states in the West and Northeast. Next, Reason looks at North Dakota. They say Measure 3 would go further than any initiative enacted so far by removing marijuana from the state's list of prohibited substances and thereby legalizing any nonviolent marijuana activity except the sale of marijuana to a person under the age of 21. Possession of cannabis by minors would be treated the same as possession of alcohol. The North Dakota initiative is also unique in requiring, quote, automatic expungement of the record of an individual who has a drug conviction for a controlled substance that has been legalized.
That's excellent.
So far, California is the only state to approve a legalization initiative that addressed the lingering collateral consequences of cannabis convictions. And even that measure put the onus on the victim of prohibition to seek expungement or resentencing, although a law enacted last month will make the process easier. North Dakota voters approved medical cannabis by a 28% margin in 2016, but they don't seem inclined to endorse the wholesale legalization. The article here from Reason says surveys conducted in February and again in August put support for legalizing recreational use at 46% and 38% respectively. So from February to August, support actually went down. Utah, where first tea, then coffee, now this. Proposition 2 would authorize the production and distribution of cannabis for medical use by patients with any of the 10 qualifying conditions and recommendation from a doctor. As of 2021, state-approved patients would be allowed to grow up to 6 plants at home if they do not live within 100 miles of a licensed dispensary. Support for Prop 2 averaged 68% in 9 polls conducted from mid-February to mid-October. Even though the Church of Latter-day Saints joined the coalition opposing the initiative, 2 polls put support at 64%, while a third found 74% of voters favored the measure. If voters do approve Proposition 2, Utah will join 31 states that have legalized cannabis for medical purposes. The most recent addition to that list was another conservative state, Oklahoma, where an initiative passed in June during their primary. In Missouri, again, they have 3 ballot measures. Amendment 2, Amendment 3, and Proposition C would all authorize production and distribution of cannabis for medical use by patients with qualifying conditions and recommendations from their doctor. The measures differ mainly in the way they define qualifying condition. The maximum amounts they would allow patients to purchase and possess their treatment of home cultivation, the tax rates they would set, the purpose for which they would earmark the revenue, the limits they would impose on the number of dispensaries, and the power they would give local governments to ban them.
So what happens if two or more of these pass?
They don't specify here in this Reason article, but as I understand it, there are processes or there are rules in place for what happens in such a situation. Some states would say whichever had the most votes would be the one to take effect. Other states would wind up sending it to some committee to try to, you know, sort of like hash out, all right, let's merge these two things.
So like reconciliation
together.
Between a House version of a bill and a Senate version of a bill?
Yes. And again, I don't know exactly how that would happen, and I don't know if that's the case in Missouri. But I wonder if this is one of the situations to where maybe some of the opponents of medical cannabis voted for some of these things to be on the ballot for the purpose of confusing voters.
Because, I would believe
well,
that.
If we just overwhelm them, you've got three choices here. All of them basically do the same thing with minor differences, and then voters just wind up getting confused and, I'm just going to vote no on all of them.
How do these get on the ballot in Missouri? Is it like a ballot initiative started by the voters where they gather signatures, or is it something that was referred to the ballot by the legislature? I'm not familiar with Missouri's
There are three
process.
Of them. So there's two that are amendments, and one is a proposition looking at the things that Reason linked to all of these. It appears as though all of these wound up getting put on by the voters.
Okay, yeah, so that also could just be disorganization amongst the legalization community, because there's different groups, and we all know how groups can split into other groups, each trying to achieve the same goal in different ways.
Right. Now, the article actually does say if both constitutional amendments pass, the one with the most votes will prevail. Proposition C would make statutory changes that the legislature could reverse by a simple majority that would take effect only if neither amendment passes.
Hmm.
So that's how it would be in Missouri. Again, other states have different rules on how that would happen. And finally, in Colorado, where they already do have recreational cannabis, there's Amendment X, which would remove from the state constitution the definition of industrial hemp that was added by Amendment 64 in 2012 that legalized cannabis for recreational purposes. So this actually sounds like it would be a good thing, because in a lot of places, hemp is considered a controlled substance because, well, it kind of looks like weed and, weed bad.
I looked it up, and it is three different groups in Missouri sponsoring three different things.
That's all for tonight, but we'll be back tomorrow and always online at freetalklive.com.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down-home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They sew pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may
allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.